going now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with the most interesting business leaders. Now, these are people who have wonderful stories to share, and they are here on this podcast to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today is an important one, how to maximize your potential in the business of life with Jeff Aldalan. Now, a bit about my guest. Jeff is the founder of New Concept Coaching and the Potential Zone podcast. And with an expansive understanding of human behavior, Jeff has dedicated the last 3 decades of his life to mentorship and guiding others on how to break through negative beliefs and limitations. And he has a great story. Prior to finding his life's meaning through coaching, Jeff managed his life the way he drove his cars, like I used to, way too fast, and often under the influence. Now, I didn't do that, but I did drive way too fast. Jeff's journey was rocky, and a final speed bump really just about ended his life. So after an excruciating recovery, he went on to become a 2-time best-selling author and has shared the stage with many high-profile thought leaders. Jeff also mobilizes his experiences, his creativity, and passion to provide transparent guidance for others who are struggling to push beyond what holds them back. And we all know, you know, our worst enemy is often us, and he helps them step into their fullest potential. So, Jeff, good morning. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here. We tried once before. I had microphone problems that I have discussed ad nauseum on Facebook. But here we are. We're trying it again. I was really hostile. Good. I was like, no, no, no.
Good morning, Denise. Yes, it was an interesting session. It was, yes.
It was. And, I mean, what was happening was my mute button wasn't working, and you know, I was having this coughing fit, and then all of a sudden I heard you mention my feline office assistant, Hamilton. You could hear him, and I thought I was muted, and at that point everything went down the drain. but we're going to do it again.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. So before we get kind of rocking and rolling here, tell our audience a bit more about yourself that I may have missed in the introduction.
Thank you for that great introduction, by the way. I'm humble. I mean, and to think about what has been my journey, I like using words that are ambiguous enough that a lot of things fall underneath it. And, you know, potential has been such a theme of my life, from the extreme potential of absolutely destroying everything. I think I have a PhD in that, and but that's what actually had to happen for me to really look at what was important in my life. And from that point, then figuring out how did I get there, and then being obsessed with finding out what is potential. For me, potential is the actualization of possibility, right? And that's not contingent upon whether it's positive or negative. But, you know, I've been there and done it, just about anything. I've struggled with just about, I think, about the only addictions I haven't had is, I think, gambling and overeating. But I've, you know, dabbled in just about everything of just this whole journey of running from self and coming to walls that I have to face in order to get to another level. So that's to summarize the journey of my life. And you know, at one point in my life, I didn't want to live to be 25 years of age. And today, you know, here I'm going to be 52 here in next month. So it's amazing how things can turn around. It's amazing. In the least expecting way. It's kind of like our show the last time we met, right?
Right. I admit I stomped around a little bit, but it was like, I did. Yeah, I went outside. And, well, I'll tell the story, because when I told it to you, you cracked up and made me feel a little bit better. But oh my gosh! I mean, I was so upset. I had actually bought a new pair of you know, headphones. Excuse me, I'm going to cough again. Hang on. And you know, when I'm trying not to cough, I lose my brain temporarily. So just bear with me. But I realized after you said, "Oh, is that Hamilton?" And I went, "You can hear him? Oh my gosh!" So I went back 4 or 5 episodes, 4 as it turned out, because I knew when I had these things had been delivered, and found out that they were horrible. That I mean, even if we could clean up the coughing, the sound quality was just horrible. So I, you know, slipped out of my high-heeled sandals and I slipped into my ugly but very serviceable gardening Crocs, and I took that brand new, pretty blue headset outside and I stomped the living crap out of it. I think I did a rain dance. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm still picking. My gardeners were here yesterday, and I got a text like, "What's this blue stuff in the grass?" Never mind, it's okay. I'm still picking up little pieces of blue plastic.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Well, and on that note,
it wasn't.
Think about that. Well, I mean, because with potential, that is so. That's. I mean, this is a great opportunity to take this and turn it into a great learning lesson. Is because what is potential, right? The actualization of possibility. But for me, the first part of understanding what that is awareness. Right. And unfortunately, most people don't have people in their lives that will give them authentic feedback. So they don't have the awareness of the things that they need to look at. Right. Where like with you and I was just like, I don't think that cat is supposed to be a part of this show. Right?
Well, he kind of is, but you weren't supposed to hear him.
Right. In the background. Right. So but because I heard it, I was like, and I said it, that's what made you aware of. You know, and it's nothing about the other guests or anything like that, but then you had the awareness of like, oh my gosh, this thing isn't working the way that it's supposed to work. But I think we get so invested in what we think we are, right? We get so invested in creating these strategies, these unconscious strategies within our lives, and until we get authentic feedback and give, you know, and I get everybody wants to give their, you know, their feedback to people, but it's having the people that will give us the authentic feedback that will challenge us to move us to the next level. And, you know, a lot of people don't welcome that, and, or even more importantly, they don't seek that out. And that's one of the things with coaching that has been so vital to me. I mean, I've read, you know, countless books, gone through countless courses and all that, but what really took my performance to a whole other level. When I say performance, I mean my mental game, my focus, my being able to be balanced, being able to adapt and things like that. But what took that to another level was when I hired a coach and had that that collaboration, you know, that live feedback of somebody else telling me what they see, and you know, it's I've been doing it for a very, very long time as well, but you know, I, a lot of people don't welcome that because our ego does not want to be brought to the light. And unfortunately, it's, you know, we pay the price, but we don't count the cost. And it really short, you know, and I loved your introduction of your show when you said about showing people how to accelerate the learning curve, because that's what it's all about, right?
It really is. And I think that's why so many of us entrepreneurs, you know, we're solopreneurs, many of us are author speakers. We wear a lot of hats, or as my very dear friend Larry Wingate says, if you're the CEO of your company, you're the janitor, you're the trash picker-upper, you're everything.
Right.
And he is absolutely right. I'm like, oh, geez.
Right.
But one of the things that we have to do if we're going to move forward in our businesses or even help our clients, whether we're coaching, mentoring, building, whatever it is that we're doing for them, if we're not doing it at the best of our ability and aware that we're fallible, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. My mistake is that I don't listen to my own podcast. Yeah, to me, and I've shared this with you, I always wait to hear myself, you know, burst into "Happy birthday, Mr. President." I sound ridiculous to me, to my ears. So I won't listen to them. I have them transcribed, but I don't listen to them. And once I caught that and I went back and I listened to the opening few bars of, you know, the last four podcasts, all I could do, honestly, was go on Facebook and Google Plus and do a giant mea culpa. I am so sorry. We'll fix this. This is what happened. You know, so. And yeah, it was embarrassing because, you know, I have this big picture view of me, right? We all do. But when you fall on your face, you better be prepared to admit to it and fix it.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's a lot of what you work with your people, your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, there's trying to keep this as simple as possible. There's different levels of consciousness, right? And lower vibrations and things like that. But, you know, shame does not want to be exposed. And if there's shame inside of us, it's going to really cause a challenge when we have something that doesn't fall the way that we'd like it to go. And that's another thing that really affects people's ability to push through things, is that they have things within themselves that they don't want to look at. And then when it comes time to perform, they don't want to make the mistake. They don't want to take the risk. They're afraid of what's going to be on the other side of it if they don't meet their expectations. And that, to me, is one of the most crucial points of, you know, we've all heard the story, you know, Edison failed 10,000 times before he finally got the light bulb figured out. You know, but looking at what does that look like, and people take these labels, if you will, and it imprisons them, because what does failure mean, really? I mean, we all have rules about these labels that we put out there, but we don't really take the time to go, what does that mean to me? And for me, failure is a necessity to accelerate. I mean, it just is. And I don't even use the word failure. To me, it's just feedback. And because our ego does not want to be exposed. And, you know, it's like the whole, I just thought of that as I said that, was magic. You know, magic is a sleight of hand. And that's kind of how our ego works. It's going, it works in the darkness so that it's able to hold us back and manipulate us and not really seeing what we're capable of doing. And, you know, having that, being in that position where you can objectively look at your life. You know, it's, I had a friend of mine ask me this years and years ago, and it's one of those terms that just really, really just made a huge impact on me. And it was, what are you measuring your life with? You know, we can't manage what we don't measure. And that doesn't mean that applies in everything. A great book that I read, I think it was Creative Inc. or something like that, where they said there's just some things you can't measure. And obviously creativity is one of them. But for the most part, to manage something, you've got to be able to measure it. So how are we managing our internal game? How are we measuring, you know, one of the things that I talk about is our four bodies. You know, we've got our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual body within ourselves. And it's awareness that helps us navigate that. And if we're not willing to look at the things that are holding us back, then, you know, it's like Carl Jung says, what we can't be with will run our lives. So we've got to have that attitude of curiosity and willingness to be able to push into those areas, because it's, again, who wants to sign up for something? You know, we are always avoiding pain, seeking pleasure, you know, and if failure is a huge, painful thing, we're going to do everything we can to avoid it. But yet, like with you, you got feedback, you went out, you absolutely obliterated your headset, right?
I cried. I wept a little bit after I stopped the thing.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, embarrassed. I mean, to me, you know, embarrassment is a choice, and I get it. There's things that, you know, but you took responsibility, you pushed forward, you faced the music, you put it out there, said, look, this is what happened. Hey, I'm going to get better from this. And, And now I have a new level of awareness because of this, right? And, you know, I think, and I didn't even think, because I'm sitting here looking at some pieces that I created back when I was in school. I didn't value, and this is another issue that a lot of people really struggle with. Not, I don't want to say struggle with, but don't have the level of awareness that it deserves. And that is what we value. I mean, really looking at an unconscious level of what we value, because what we value really motivates us. That's what's driving us at a deep unconscious level. You know, and we've all heard the know your why. And there's some people that can articulate that accurately, but for the most part, most people can't. And I've elicited people's values many, many, many times, and I have yet found someone, and this isn't a challenge, it's just to make a point, that most people are not able to articulate their top value. And we've all heard the story.
I can't. I've tried. I read the book, Know Your Why, Simon Sinek. I follow a lot of very well-known people online, and I read a lot. I'm a voracious reader. And I sat down to kind of write my bio recently. I mean, I've been doing what I do for a long time. You would think I would be able to articulate it. Nope. It really stunned me how much I don't know how to present my value proposition even to me.
Right.
So if you can't explain to yourself what, you know, who you are, what you're doing out in the world, can you share that with, you know, people who might be your clients, your customers, your consumers? So there's some big exercises that have to go on there, and I'm working my way through them. It's embarrassing.
Well, we have that conversation.
To not know why know, and you've been part of that journey. But I mean, I really thought, no, I can do this. I can write this down. And when I sat down with that epic blank piece of paper, I got nothing.
It's
Well, I think I'll go make a gumbo, and I just left. I ran off.
I'm gonna
get it done.
And see, what people don't realize is that, you know, there's people that, and we all have different things in different places at different times, but the ability to make a decision is actually value clarification. Every decision we make is value clarification. So, you know, we have basically six areas of our lives, but we have values within those six areas of life. And knowing what those values are, then you're going to need to know what decision you need to make in that moment. It's what you value the most. You know, for someone that has a child, and this is an extreme example, but it's reality of helping us really understand the importance of this, is that if you have a child and you have a pet, and that pet attacks your child, there's no there's no question of what the decision is. There's just none. Why? Is because obviously you're going to value your child more than your pet, but we're still going to experience pain because of what the pet did. I mean, we cared about the pet, but in that moment, we understood what we valued most. And that's the same. We heard the story of, I mentioned this in my book too, the story of the elderly woman that was able to lift a car off of her grandson. Why was that able to happen? Is because she valued her grandson's life more than she valued the belief that she couldn't lift that car off. I mean, that's how important it really is. And once we understand what we value, then, I mean, we get very, very clear. Now, that's another issue with entrepreneurs. And we all have this, you know, we've all seen the thing of what we think it looks like. It's this nice 45-degree line that happens. But what it really likes is we're a big squiggly line that's all over the place. The reason for a lot of that is because we're not clear. We're not aligned inside. And when we start feeling this uncomfortableness, we have to be aware of what that uncomfortableness is and get very intentional on pushing through it, or we're going to avoid it. And as an entrepreneur that has issues with failure, that's going to create some internal wars that are going to be very, very unpleasant for them. You know, the other thing is knowing why are we doing it. You know, I had a client, this story, I love it. I had a client that was very, very successful, worked for a huge marketing company, but he was living inside of a basement. And this guy had made huge money, would lose it, huge money and lose it. Well, stepping back and looking at the behavior, there was, again, unconscious programming. Well, we started doing some digging, unconscious digging, and we found that he, really getting in touch with his relationship with money. And what we discovered was that there was this visceral response to money because he felt that money took his dad away. Because his dad worked all the time, and his dad, you know, was very, very successful financially. But he was thinking as a child, I would do anything to get my dad's attention and go out and play ball. But his dad was working all the time. And again, it's understanding that all behavior has a positive intention. So his dad probably had the decision that providing for my family financially is what my rules are around being a good dad. But with my client, what he did is that, why would I want to pursue something that took my dad from me? Right? And it's doing that unconscious work that really makes us unlock these new, I like the term paradigm shift of going, wow, that's not reality. And then helping them develop a different relationship with what it is that they seek. Because, you know, the other side of that was his dad was financially successful. So if I'm financially successful, my dad will approve of me. So he's got two different models that one he's going towards and the other one he wants to run away from. And that's where we create this internal conflict inside, which takes a massive amount of energy and uncomfortableness and all these things. And that's why we get this crazy loop as an entrepreneur, is because we have all these things that are going on as unconscious programs.
I completely understand. Been there, and I'll probably do it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
But, you know,
right.
we all of us as people, as humans, you know, the human condition is that we're constantly in flux. We're constantly learning new things.
Yep.
Or relearning what we probably thought we learned the last time and we really didn't. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think what happens, Jeff, and I wonder if you see this when you're coaching and mentoring, because I do when I'm mentoring, you know, people who are
mm-hmm.
in the online service provider arena. They get very confused about, okay, I have to have a home life and I have to have, you know, business life. They can't meet up. I call that baloney. You cannot separate them. Especially now
right.
that more of us are working online. And, you know, we have to be very aware of who we are. I mean, this morning I posted on Facebook, seriously, if you want to know how insane I am, go follow me on Facebook. I couldn't find my gardening gloves this morning. But this is part of my business story, because I work from home. I have these insane feline office assistants who now have their own
right.
Facebook group. But I couldn't find my gardening gloves. And, you know, I was like, what the heck? They're pretty new. How did I lose them? They were in the microwave. You know, I put them in there to keep them away from my ginger office assistant, Hamilton,
right.
who,
right.
you know, is just, he's a bad cat. And I needed to jump on a conference line yesterday afternoon, and I just picked him up, threw him in the microwave. He can't open that. He can't open cupboards. And promptly forgot about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
part of that is, it's also part of my business life, because my office is in my home. Everything is
mm-hmm.
here. So if I'm looking for my gardening gloves, or if I'm looking for the pin that he also hauled off with, that's part of my
right.
business, right? It's, you know,
right.
it's part of who
Absolutely.
I am, what I'm doing. So I think a lot of people have made the mistake of trying to separate the two, but in a push towards authenticity and, you know, kind of fessing up, look, I'm in my jammies, I'm working at my counter, which I'm not doing,
right.
by the way. But, you know, more and more people are getting pretty real about how they
right.
operate. And I think, I find, that you trust them a bit more than if they're stayed stuffy with the, you know, the bank-like picture where you're standing with your hand on the back of a leather, you know,
right.
armchair and, you know, looking like Napoleon. I mean, it's just,
right.
we
right.
don't trust those people.
Right, right. And that's the other part of, you know, for me is truth. And truth for me is not something that's static. It's very dynamic. And, you know, like what you were saying is, you know, understanding how our mind works gives us the awareness. I mean, for me, being able to perform at your fullest potential, there's four things that are required. First thing is being aware, having the awareness. How do we increase our awareness? Second one is having that awareness, we're able to anticipate. And then from being able to anticipate, then we're able to adapt. And then out of the adaption, then we're able to act on what we need to act on in order to make it happen. I mean, everybody's got this whole thing with law of attraction, right? And we are attracting things in our life, and it's not always positive or negative, but it's understanding that the biggest rule that people don't get in the law of attraction is the latter part of that word attraction. It's action. You got to go out there. You know, you can't sit there and just do ohms and expect things are just going to come flying at you. You got to get out there and do
what needs to happen.
Really? Or, right?
See, I can't even talk to you anymore. You just destroyed my entire narrative.
but unfortunately, but because people don't have the awareness, right, they create this false image of what that really means. I mean, we are attracting it, so let's just take that scenario. They're sitting there doing ohms hoping they attract it. That they're designing a, well, let me back up a little bit. Another statement that I heard a long time ago that really resonated with me: our lives are perfectly designed to get the results that they get. And if we want different results, then we've got to have the courage, because it takes a lot of courage to look within. We've got to have that courage to be able to look at, how did I design my life? You know, and somebody out there might go, well, I didn't design my marriage. I didn't design me getting divorced, or I didn't design. But
sure, you did.
Look back,
you absolutely did.
Right, right. If we look back far enough in our life at whatever situation we want to look at, we made decisions that put ourselves position. We made a decision that placed ourselves in a position to be hurt later. I mean, and the more responsibility we take for the decisions we make, the more power we have, the more we're able to make the course corrections that we need to have a greater future. And with, you know, with a lot of entrepreneurs that I've seen, I mean, you know, you think of lottery, there's not, the numbers are everywhere. If you start looking at the statistics, one of the statistics that really intrigued me was people that win the lottery, 85% of them file bankruptcy within 5 years. Okay. That's interesting. We all, you know, a lot of people want to win the lottery, but what happens is it changes their life so fast and so at such a massive level, it's like turning them inside out. They're so uncomfortable that they've got to go back to familiar as fast as possible. And that's understanding, you know, our comfort zone. You know, and entrepreneurs, you know, entrepreneurs are doing really good at their job. And go, you know what? I'm gonna go out on my own and try to do it on my own. It's a much different, total different mindset when you're working for yourself, as if you are. It's, you know, a lot of people, well, I don't feel that I have security at my job. You do if someone else is writing your check. When you go out, and this is again what we talked about in the beginning of the value. When you go out on your own, you have to value your product. And for most people, the product, like in coaching and consulting and things like that, I'm the product, right? So I have to be able to value what it is that I do. But the thing for me that really has assisted me in doing that, it's not, oh, I'm all that great. It's not about me, but it's the value that happens as a result of what happens with my clients. That's the value. And having the adaptability for me to be able to see, you know, and I get it. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and nor do I even claim to be that. But it's having, you know, I think it goes along with this other rule that or law that I heard a long time ago that really helps me with this, and it's the law of requisite variety. And the law of requisite variety says the one with the most behavioral flexibility will be the one in control. And so, but people, again, they don't have that awareness of going, okay, I'm just going to go out on my own, and they don't understand that, okay, now you have to have the discipline to manage your time. You have to manage your mindset. You have to manage your emotions. You have to manage your spirituality. And spirituality, I mean, we could spend days on that topic. But
yeah, we've had those private conversations.
Yeah, right, yeah. And it's getting people to really understand that when you jump out of the security of a job, you're going to be faced with all new parts of you. You know, and you know, one of the things I tell people
is, scary. You better have a cast iron stomach.
Yeah, right. Right. Because it's like, oh my gosh, right? Just, you know, that I think somebody said that an entrepreneur is like jumping off a cliff and building the plane as you fall. Right. And
pretty much. But, you know, it.
Yeah.
When I say it's scary, I'm actually kind of, you know, giving lip service to it. I never was terrified of it. I should have been, and I look back now, and, I mean, I've had days I'm like, what the, you know, what fresh hell is this? What's going on?
Right.
It happened.
I like that.
But when I started out, I didn't have brains enough, I think, to be terrified. I just knew I could do it. There was no question in my mind at all that I could do this, and I did, it in a big way. But the thing is, I had to stop, listen, panic. You know, daily. I mean, this is daily. It was never an overarching kind of a theme. I was going to do it. You know, whatever it took, I was going to do it. But there's
right.
times during every single day where you just go, what was I thinking? And then 5 minutes later, you're fine. But,
right.
You know,
right.
we all have
right.
to have those little mini breakdowns. Take a break. Walk
yeah.
off. This is my favorite thing, Jeff. When I hit a wall, and I hit them all day long, they may be small, they may be big, I look at it, is this a pebble? Can I push it out of the way? Is it a boulder? Do I have to go over it, around it? Or is it a big enough thing that I just dynamite it and get it out of my way? But I will just honestly walk off. And it's the best thing for
mm-hmm.
me, walk off. I go out to, I have this gorgeous backyard, and I go out there and I stand under my pecan trees. It doesn't matter if it's the rain season, the mud season, or, you know, we're gulping in air that is so damp from the humidity that you just about drown. I will kick off my shoes, go stand under those pecan trees, and I just breathe. And I reground
right.
myself to the earth, if you will. And then I come
yep.
back in and I may cook something. I may, you know, do a load of laundry. I let my brain rest and I let that wall kind
yep.
of disintegrate. And when I come back in here to my office, I've got the answer. So sometimes the best
right.
thing to do is not power through it. It's
right.
back off and give yourself a break. Do you find that?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I would even, and I get we're talking semantics here. Instead
yeah,
of
yeah.
saying the word power through it, to me it would be force through it, is because power
is exactly
what you did, is going out there, grounding yourself, taking, resetting your neurology. And because you have that awareness of what works with that, because, you know, it's there's so many things that are so simple, but yet we don't take the time to inventory just how important they are. And one of them is what we focus on expands, right? And for me, like anxiety, okay? A lot of people, whatever that means, but I mean, a lot of my clients think, I've had this happen, I can't tell you how many times, but they think they struggle with anxiety. And we got talking about it, and really what they are is just anxious. But yet somebody said, you got anxiety. Well, they're just feeling anxious. They have this excitedness that's got a little bit of fear mixed with it, which is kind of the whole anticipation kind of thing, and they think they have anxiety. But and the more they focus on that, guess what? The bigger it gets. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
what we focus on.
The minute you say,
"I
think
expands.
I've got a headache," you've got a headache.
Right.
That's exactly
right.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
So, you know, don't
and
have that internal conversation.
Right, and see, that's the other part. You know, one of the things that I'm a huge advocate for is journaling. And I've journaled for almost 3 decades now. And in that, it's a space that I've created. I went out, I got a pen fetish. But my pens are not pens. My pens is an instrument for me to express my thoughts. And for me, my
mm-hmm.
thoughts is, you know, tapping into superconscious and stuff like that. But I also have a journal that looks very old. It's got great paper. It's got, you know, so I create this environment that, I mean, I can literally feel when it's just like I hit that state when I start journaling, and it's just like, oh, and it's, I know that. I know how important that is to me because I value that. I value that so much because, you know, and I would encourage, you know, your listeners is, I was a jeweler for 20 some years. And what is it that determines the value of a diamond, right? Is its rarity, right? And the more rare
clarity,
it is, the more valuable.
Color. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the more rare it becomes. I was just watching this on The Life of the Rich and Famous, and they just got a 161 flawless diamond, 161 carat flawless diamond. I have never in my career seen a flawless diamond. I mean, they're very, very, very rare, and this is a 161 carat one. But with that said, is that the reason, again, their value is because of their rarity. How many, and getting people to understand this is freedom, is that there is nobody on this planet ever has been or ever will be that's just like Denise. Nobody.
No,
ever will,
exactly.
ever can be. There's nobody that's ever going to be like Jeff or whoever, and valuing that because that's us denying ourselves but yet stepping into what our uniqueness is that we have to offer. You know, and it's sharing that, you know, and you and I have had this conversation before of every new person I meet introduces me to a new part of who I am. And I have the opportunity to go, you know, how do I feel about this person? What can I, how, you know, can I inspire this person? You know, whatever. And it's not about always wanting to change a person, but what's going on inside of me and really paying attention to that inner dialogue. And that so many people use their outer worlds to determine how they feel, but they don't understand that what's creating that outer world is them. And so the more they have this intimate relationship with who they are inside, the more that they can literally change their reality. You know, it's like Tony Robbins says, and I love it. You can change your strategy or you can change your perception. And you know, some of the things that – some of the biggest challenges I've had are the things that have reminded me who I am. And it's like pushing through that of just going, man, because there's, you know, there's, and you see it on social media, and it's, and I find it entertaining. And there'd be times I've gotten caught up into it too. I can't say that I've been immune to it all, but you know, it's again, having that awareness of not getting caught up into the drama is that, you know, 7% of language communication, 7% of communications is the words we choose. So here's all these dialogues going on social media that's only based on 7% of communication, right? And these people are spinning out and, you know, just – and it's just like – it's so interesting of – you know, and to look at history, Hitler was able to do what Hitler was able to do because he knew something that the rest of the world didn't know. And, that, I mean, he was a hypnotist. A lot of people don't know that. But he was able to use a medium at the radio – and hypnotize these people to believe that he was the Messiah or whatever. I mean, whatever you want to term that, and get these people to do acts that they would have never in their wildest dreams would have ever imagined. And people don't have that awareness to understand that what they're indoctrinating themselves with is what's causing this duality, this tension in our country. So it, again, it's just having that awareness and what are we allowing ourselves to get entangled in? And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, I share this with people of if we woke up every single day and we looked at and you know, and just imagine God or whatever, you know, whatever term works for you comes up to you and says, here is your ration of energy. This is the amount of energy you're going to have for the next 24 hours. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to spend it in anger and fear, or are you going to figure out how to generate more energy by how you eat, by how you think, by who you associate with? And if we really started assessing and inventorying what we're doing with that energy, holy cow, we could be, you know, again, like I was saying, we have these internal wars that's just burning up energy. And then it takes down our immune system, and then we come home. But, you know, again, like you were saying, I liked what you were saying about having the business at home. We come home to our significant other. We're in a lower state of resource because we're depleted. It's just like going to a grocery store, right? We go to a grocery store hungry. We make very unhealthy choices, right? But we don't recognize when our energy is low. We do the same thing with friendships, with spouses, with friends, whatever, is because we are in a lower state, a lower vibration that allows things to get in that cause us to, you know, create more and more darkness within our lives. That shame button, the guilt button, all of that stuff gets poked when we're in a lower state.
And see, that makes perfect sense to me. And what I have found, because I've got a bit of a temper. You may have noticed that, but
your headset concurs.
Poor thing. I almost felt sorry for it after it started raining, but not really. but you know, the thing is, I have learned that about myself, that I am quick to anger. It's a flash anger. I don't really hang on to it, mm-hmm. but I am quick and prone to it. So I have learned through trial and bitter lessons to keep my mouth shut. Just walk off, don't respond, and just calm down, and then, you know, get rational about it 10 minutes later, a day later, whatever it is. But you know who the biggest enemy, the enemy within, the biggest arguments that I have and we all have are within ourselves.
Yep.
And I think a lot of us, many of us, if not all of us, suffer from some form or degree, varying degrees of what I call imposter syndrome. We just don't think we're doing it as well as the next person in our industry. In mine, I have two industries. You know, we just think, oh, gosh, you know, Amy Porterfield did it better than I can possibly. I'm not going to compete with her. or, you know, right. Tony Robbins. Nobody can compete with Tony Robbins. Not true, by the way. You know, Tony
right.
is great, but he's a very yeah. individual, as is Dean Graziosi, as is a lot of, you know, these a lot of people that you're going to hit right now. I'm listening to Grant Cardone on Audible,
mm-hmm.
and I'm loving his
yep.
book, Time
yeah.
Out. 10X.
Yeah.
Loving
yep.
it.
Love
and
yep.
it's
yep.
not a brand new book, but I'm ready for it. So, you know,
yep.
messages are going to come to you. You're going to learn from different people all day, every day. But stop beating yourself up. Listen, I'll be very frank with you. And I caught myself some years ago telling, you know, I said something really ugly to myself internally. I didn't say it out loud. And I was
mm-hmm.
at home. I was working. And I caught myself and I went, you know, Denise, if anybody, man, woman, cop, anybody said to me what you just said to yourself, you'd knock them in a ditch without hesitation.
Right.
So what are you
right.
doing?
Right.
And after that,
right.
I became very aware of my internal dialogue.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was like, oh, my God, ugly.
Yeah.
It just was.
Right.
I mean,
that,
I was beating
yeah.
myself up all the time.
Yep. And that's where we become hypersensitive to other people's feedback, right? Is it aligns with the internal dialogue that we have with ourselves. Right. I mean, I do an extreme thing. I'm kind of an extreme guy because it's just like, let's just cut to the chase and put you in a situation where you get to see that internal dialogue. And there's some, I've had clients where I have them stand in front of a mirror naked and say, what are you telling yourself? I mean, that's real. And it's like, whoa, because there, you know, along with the uniqueness, the other part of it is that, see, the ego, again, does not want to be exposed. And when you start talking about things like we got to love ourselves, we've got to value ourselves, and you are unique. In a, you know, there's a whole other topic on that as well. But all these things that, you know, it's honorable to beat the crap out of yourself, but it's arrogant to talk highly of yourself, right? And that's the conditioning that society has done with us. But people, who do you spend every moment of your life with? We ourselves,
me.
Right? And people
mm-hmm.
don't understand that of the greatest, most important relationship in our lives is with ourselves, because it's the relationship with ourselves that determines the relationships that we're going to have with everybody else. You know, and you get and that's there. I might go off on a rant here for a little bit, but all these things about, well, if love is hard, then it's not real love. It's like, where did you get that? And, you know, getting
no.
people to understand, right? It's getting people to understand that in order to feel true love, you have to have it within yourself. You have to know what it means to love someone, because we're always teaching somebody how to treat us, and vice versa. And if I don't know how to love myself, I can't teach somebody else how to love me. But yet we put these unrealistic expectations. Well, this person just isn't fulfilling my needs. Well, did you teach them? Were you vulnerable enough with them to tell them what it is that you need? Do you know what it is to love yourself? Right? And it's, again, it's being at that whole paradigm of cause and effect. Am I going to live my life at cause and understand that there everything I do has a ripple effect? Or am I going to live at effect where my life is, my happiness is contingent upon everything that's on the outside of me? And being
exactly.
able to press into that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No. I was just going to say that once you kind of, and I had to make this determination. I was forced into it, really, because I was just, my business was successful. Everything was, you know, rocking along fine. And I was just wretched. You know, I was angry. I didn't like myself very much. Couldn't figure out why I wasn't growing bigger, better, faster. I was doing well, but I wasn't recognizing that. And then it just occurred to me, you know, I better sit down and have some chats with myself. And in my mind, I pictured it as, you know, somebody on the other side of a dark room in a fedora shining a light in my eye, and it was very uncomfortable. I had that light bulb in my eyes. And I was like, oh,
right,
stop.
Right.
But it had to happen. I had to just sit down multiple times. I still do it. It's not something you... It's not one and done. But
right.
you have to sit down and really figure out who you are, what you want, where you're going, how you're going to treat other people, how you're going to treat yourself. And this is a big one for me, Jeff, what my barriers are.
Right.
Because I have barricades. And, you know, I protect my barriers. I have a 6-inch rule. If you come, my attitude is, you can be you all day long and I'll accept it until I don't have to. but if you poke your nose over my fence, you'll pull back a bloody face. And I'm dead serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your barriers are just as important as your welcome, the welcoming part of you. Because you do have to protect yourself, your business. You have to be insightful about the people that you're doing business with or allowing into your life. And if you're not insightful about that, you'll keep just spinning around. And nothing will work out very well. So what do you think?
And, you know,
yes, no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, you and I have had this conversation where it's, I used to, I wore a badge that, you know, basically back off kind of thing. And, you know, I'm 6'2", 200, and I mean, at one point I was up at 235 of just, I was, you know, and I had this whole demeanor of just do not even think about crossing me. And as a result of that, you know, I started evolving inside more and more. And what I was doing for me, and I'm certainly not implying anything with you, and boundaries, autonomy. I like, instead of boundaries, I like using the word autonomous because, again, it goes back to the energy thing. Where am I putting my energy? Am I going to give it to somebody that's going to violate it? Am I going to, you know, I have to, again, have that awareness of who, what am I going to invest in? Because whatever I invest in is going to start to affect my reality. And for me, you know, and I'm doing some work now with it that's just amazing is being able to, I used to call myself an iron-coated marshmallow, right? And, you know, I got a black belt, I got all this stuff, but it was all about just back the F off and but not recognizing that what I had done for myself is I had created a prison inside of me because I was afraid to be vulnerable. I was afraid to express my ideas. I was all these things. And see, when I was starting this internet marketing thing, and I've dabbled in it for quite a few years up to this, when I started putting my own content out there, and this blogging, I accepted this challenge, and it was basically, you know, blog every day for 90 days. And Denise, it felt like somebody was literally, I just use the analogy, turning me inside out because it was so uncomfortable, you know, and if it's that feeling, if we didn't have any skin, how raw would we feel? And that's what I mean by that expression. But every day I started doing this and, oh my gosh, I'm like, Jeff, what is going on here? Well, what was happening, you know, and I really started looking at this is why am I having such an internal conflict with this? But what I investigated and found is I had made a decision when I was a child that writing and being able to write and articulate yourself with words and not only that, but be able to put it out there for the public to say whatever they want to say about it, that is an intelligent person. And I did not consider myself an intelligent person. So right there,
I've got
an internal conflict. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had an internal conflict, and that's what was going on. And then, you know, years later, I started recognizing that there's different types of intelligences, right? There's being able to – a music intelligence. There's a creative intelligence. There's a mathematic intelligence. There's all these different types of intelligence. But yet, like you were saying in the beginning, we compare ourselves to people, and we don't
mm-hmm.
– this has just been a theme this last whole week. I know we've probably got to wrap this up too, but is putting
things
in context.
I know we've got about 11 minutes.
Okay, cool. Is putting things in context. We've really got to have the awareness to be able to look at things and put it in context because we see, like we look at Justin Timberlake, and he, I was watching an interview with him, and I loved what he said. He says, people see the mastery now, but they have no idea what I had to do to get there. You know, and that's what people do. They see the people that have made it. Oh, it must be nice, and all you know, and they compare someone's outsides to their insides, and it sets them up for failure right out of the gate. And they don't understand that they made minute changes every single day that got them where they're at. And you know, it's like for me, just you know, with my book that was just released finally. That's a big story we could talk about some other day. But having
I'm waiting for mine to show up on my front porch. By the way, no, you know, no hurry.
Okay, good.
Just so you know.
But I appreciate that. I accepted that. that it took.
I'll call your wife.
This is
I want that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is 30 years of work. This is 30 years of work. This is not something that just fell on me. It's challenging what I believe, you know, and getting people to understand that our reality changes every day. It just does. And we have thousands of neurological connections created every day, and there's thousands, and I don't even know what the number is, but it's big, of cells dying in our body every day. We are in a constant influx of change. And the more we become aware of that, it's just like, you know, I've had pretty similar routines of when you and I chatted the last time, but there's some things that have happened between the moment we chatted and now we're chatting now. There's things that have happened that have put different things into my consciousness. So I'm literally a different person, not entirely, but getting people to understand that, of having that whole awareness so that they can anticipate and then adapt before they act on things, because we are in a constant flux of change, constantly, whether we want to accept it or not, but we get so afraid of letting things go. So the topic came up the other day. I got this group that I just absolutely love. We get into some really awesome conversations. And I just felt this word coming over me over and over and over. But I could, as the word was coming over me, I could feel the resistance coming up inside of me. And the word was surrender. Surrender. Because the more we embrace this concept of letting beliefs that hold us back die, that has to happen in order for something, a different level of our potentiality to be born. We have to let certain things of us die, but yet it's so familiar. It's what I know. And being able to surrender that and just let it die and go, you know, I mean, when we step back and look at our lives, there are so many decisions that we would not have voluntarily made. But yet, because we went through that, we have the life that we have. One is, how many of us would have been born? I mean, just really think about what a baby goes through being birthed. Sorry, I'm not signing up for that class. I'm just not, right? But yet, now we have this thing called life, right? Or we wouldn't have gone through the divorce, but yet recognizing on the other side of the divorce, it opened up all these different possibilities. Or exactly. Someone passed away in our life, that now that that's gone, it opened up something else. Or we learned to value, or we learned to love more, whatever it is. It's the more we embrace this process of dying, letting things die, and embracing letting things be born, it's a cycle of life. And the more we embrace that, the more freedom we have. It's just, you know, it's an amazing thing. So it's, you know, the surrender. What do I have to surrender to, you know, to move to the next level?
Right. And I always say, and you'll hear me say this over and over again, is that nature abhors a vacuum. If a client leaves, you just opened up a spot for a new client. In my case, my feline office assistants, who are insane, what is it that, you know, that old saying, you get the pet you deserve? I have no idea what I've done. But whatever it is, I apologize.
Who is it? I really apologize. I'm sorry.
I hope you're listening, all 50 of you. I don't know who you were. I lost my ginger cat, Henderson. He had late stage heart disease, and it was a very painful thing to go through. And, you know, I had decided, okay, I don't need to raise any more kittens. I had lost Sawyer, his vet record. You know, he was another large ginger, and he was 18 when he passed, broke my heart. His vet record actually said, Sawyer, you little bastard, Griffiths. It was my constant companion. And then Henderson passed 2 years later, and I'm done. I've got others, you know, I'm not going to do any more. I'm not going to raise any more babies because I raised, you know, a lot of babies. And here I am 10 days later after Henderson passed 2 years ago. I'm at the post office, which is the size of a postage stamp in my little town. And I see this very young couple, and they've got these little fuzzy orange things hanging on their shoulders. And, of course, I had to go see. Well, they had three tiny ginger kittens. They were 6 weeks old. And I want you to know, Jeff, I exercised great restraint. I only brought two of them home. But I was so proud of myself. But the thing is, nature does abhor a vacuum. I didn't want to replace Henderson. I was still grieving. In fact, his carrier was still in the car because I brought him home in a cardboard coffin. Mm. But apparently that was not to be allowed. I needed to fill that spot, and nature did it for me. So I think my point is, I'm not trying to talk about the crazy cat lady syndrome, which I'm deeply afflicted with, But my point is that you will, when you replace something, when you allow something to be replaced, be conscious of what you're replacing it with, which goes back to what we're talking about. Don't just accept the first thing that walks in the door or make other bad decisions, but recognize that there is a vacuum. Now what are you going to do with it? Use high energy? Do I use good decisions? Because something's going to come in to replace it, right? Always does.
Sure.
I think we all need to take a good gander at what we're doing every single day as those vacuums open up.
Yes, wisdom is a very, very nice place to be. And you know, it's like one of my mentor, Ken Wilber, says, love until it hurts. Love until it hurts. And it's love is, you know, what determines the strength of a relationship is our ability to go through things, the challenges and things like that. And it breaks... You know, there's some things that just are unsettling to me when somebody has a dog and when the dog passes away that, you know, and like with your case is cats, you know, they have this dog and they just absolutely love this dog. And when it dies, the pain is so great that they don't get them another dog. And it's like, that is not the cycle of life. That you are going against the way, you know, it's from pain we learn, we grow. You know, it's understanding the whole thing of that when we lose, we ponder. When we win, we celebrate. And it's in those moments, it's the pain, it's the hurt of the loss that makes us get in touch with the fact that we are capable of loving. And what does that mean? And with animals, with, you know, I've had critters all my life, that there's such a... It's such a deep connection because there's not this tension. I mean, a lot of the relationship, like with my dog, I mean, I have all these voices for him, and I'm sure one day he's going to look at me and, dude, I don't talk like that at all. Sorry, I just don't. but you know, it's a relationship that we and they come up and they're very in tune with our vibration. And they can come up to us when we're feeling sad or whatever. And it's just like, oh, it'd be so nice to have a human that does that. But, you know, again, you know, our levels of consciousness compared to an animal's, there's a big gap there. But because they don't have all the complicated things in their heads like we do, they're very in tune to energy. And really appreciating that. It's just sometimes just me holding on to my dog and hugging him, it feels good. It just does. And, you know, it's the same thing I've done with my wife. Giving her a hug and being able to, you know, but this thing with communication, and like I was saying before, it's the values that you know, break up relationships, but misaligned values, but it's out of the values is what we communicate. You know, it's not sex and money that causes most divorces. It's communication. It's the inability to communicate with one another, which is dependent on, contingent upon my ability to communicate with myself. Right? And a lot of people...
I was just going to say that. If we don't know ourselves, if we can't present as the best person we are at that moment based on, you know, the level of trauma that we've gone through and joy and all of the different human emotions, if we haven't taken those lessons in and learned and grown from them, you better start. Yeah, it's never too late to start really, really getting to know who you are.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you can't have a successful business or a successful life if you don't know who you are. It's very difficult, if not impossible.
Right. And, you know, I read a term that I read this back almost 30 years ago. And it is one of those sayings that I keep it in the front of my consciousness at all times. Live a life that demands rigorous honesty. Live a life that demands rigorous honesty, because if we really look at it, it's really tough. And being able to, if I go, you know, and for me it was drinking. I had to start getting honest with myself, or I was going to kill myself drinking the way I was living and stuff like that. But if we looked at it, and a lot of people, well, you're an alcoholic, you have to do it. Well, no, if you understand that if we are living out of our truth, outside of our truth, our body is breaking down. Our body is releasing chemicals in our body that's making us age faster. It's affecting it's depleting our energy. So it's living in our truth. And if people stepped into living a life that demands rigorous honesty, like their life depended on it, because it really does, if they did that, this world would be a much, much, much different place. I mean, criticizing somebody releases cortisol in our body. See, our unconscious doesn't know if I'm talking to you or myself.
and how we communicate with other people is affecting us. And having that rigorous honesty of really looking at who am I and what is it that I need to do. People, you know, the other part, I know we got to wrap this up, but they say that money's not important to them, but they're living in a job or in a career that's absolutely miserable to them. You know, I mean, money is energy, and money is important. It's a very important aspect of things. You know, try to live without it. It doesn't work very well.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was having this conversation with myself the other day about money energy. And I was driving down the road, and everything, it became very clear to me. And I've always known this, but hadn't really gone deep inside and had the conversation. When I'm in the car, I don't answer the phone. I don't listen to the radio. It's my quiet time. And I'm always alone, so I always have quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, when I'm driving, that's my quiet time. I'm observing the landscape around me, or the other cars or the other people, and I'm just kind of watching. And it occurred to me that everywhere I looked, everywhere, whether it was the roadway, whether it was the road construction, whether it was a CVS pharmacy on the right-hand side, whether it was a car in front of me, whether it was the garbage bag that was flying down the road, everything was touched by money, mm-hmm. created by money, everything. Even the fallow yep. fields are what we call neutral ground here. Somebody's maintaining
yep.
those. You know,
yep.
money is everywhere. Money energy is everywhere.
Yep.
You walk into a Nordstrom's, that's high money energy because that's not a cheap store. You walk into Walmart,
right.
it's a different money energy. But if you're
right.
not aware in business, if you're not aware of your money energy, you're screwed. And I'm just going to put it right
yep.
out there. You are in
yeah.
deep trouble. So,
yep.
and we are out
well,
of time. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Go ahead. We're not broadcasting, but we are still recording. So keep going.
Cool. No, it's just what I was going to say on that is that when and it's our relationship with money that determines how much of it we have. And, you know, when you're working for somebody, it's a different type of energy. But when you go out on your own, it changes that energy. And now understanding that, I mean, you get put face to face with the whole thing of, because before, if you're working for somebody, I'm asking for money for somebody else. I get a piece of it. When you're out on your own, you're asking money for you. And it's an entirely different energy. And for people to really understand, I mean, again, you look at the numbers that I've mentioned with lottery winners, it's the same for business owners. 80% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. And then of the 20% of those ones that don't fail, they fail in the next, I think like 80% of those ones fail in the next 5 years or 3 years. I mean, it's the odds are against you, but the reason that is because of the lack of awareness.
Perfect. Listen, before we go, tell people a bit about your book and tell people where they can find you on the web.
Yeah, okay. So the Map to Your Fullest Potential, I just got my physical copy of it, and you will be getting one in the mail.
All right.
It just talks about how to live in your fullest potential. I mean, and as I mentioned, potential is the actualization of possibility. And once your mind knows what's possible, it will seek that. It will always... We are literally designed and programmed to rise. And that's what this book talks a lot about of, you know, it's a mirror of where I used to live my life, potential of trying to destroy my life. And thank God I didn't succeed to be in where I'm at today. And then I've got the podcast, The Potential Zone. You can find that at thepotentialzoneshow.com. And then Facebook, of course. And then I've got a website at jefffaldollin.com.
Perfect.
So,
Jeff, thank you.
Yes.
I'm so glad you've been
thank
with
you.
Me here today. It's a fascinating conversation, and
yeah.
I hope that our audience can spend some time with it and really listen to all the wonderful tips and advice that you shared. And before we end this episode, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to subscribe to Your Partner in Success Radio on iTunes and take us along on your success journey. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you, Denise. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and thank you so much. It's been a great conversation.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.